I want to encourage you to have your Bible out. We're going to be looking at a number of passages this morning as we consider this evening, as we consider the subject of perseverance. And we'll start in 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1, let's start reading at verse 4. We'll go verses 4 through 7. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 4 through 7. Peter says, "By which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. But also, for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love." We have here what's sometimes called or referred to as the Christian graces. How we are to be diligent we start with our faith, but we're to be diligent to add these other characteristics onto it and to grow into the mature Christian that God wants us to be. But backing up to verse 4, we see that the goal here is actually us responding to the privilege, the invitation, the opportunity that's been given to us to become partakers of the divine nature. To partake of something is to share in it, or to be involved in it, to have a share in it. The divine nature is the nature of God. Now, if you just stop and think about how incredible that is, that God has granted us the privilege to be able to share in His nature. That doesn't mean that we can take on the divine attributes of God's omniscience or omnipotence. That is, we're all-knowing, we're all-powerful, we're all-present or ever-present. No, we're talking about the character of deity. What deity is like. You start with faith, but you add these other things to it. Now this list, sometimes called the Christian graces, is a great list, a great thing for us to study. But my favorite one is perseverance. So I want to talk about perseverance for a few moments this evening. Let's start by defining our term, making sure we know what it is that we're talking about. Perseverance is translated from the Greek word hupomone. Now, I told you this morning, I confessed, I'm not a Hebrew scholar. I'm not a Greek scholar either. I barely got English down. I tell people I am fluent in redneck. But anything beyond that, I can do English. But anything beyond that, no, I'm not very good at that. But I have the Greek tools that are available to everyone. The word hupomone, that is translated perseverance, is a very interesting Greek word. It makes for an interesting study. It is a compound word. It is a combination of two separate words, hupo meaning under, and meno meaning to abide. And that should give us a picture in our mind immediately of what we're talking about. We're talking about abiding or living under something. We're underneath something, but yet we're still able to live. We're still able to abide. We're still able to progress and even aspire and be successful underneath that. Vine says it is an abiding under. Thayer gets a little deeper in this definition. Says that hupomone is steadfastness, constancy, endurance, the character of a man who has not swerved from his deliberate purpose and his loyalty to faith and piety by even the greatest of trials and sufferings. That's what we're talking about tonight. Perseverance, that steadfastness, that hanging on mentality, that keep on keeping on mentality. Now, there's a difference between patience and perseverance. We think sometimes the words are used interchangeably, but there's actually a difference between the two, and both of them are enjoined to us by the Scriptures. God wants us to exercise both of them. Patience is the ability to wait. Don't you love the traffic? Traffic can get bad even where I'm at, but Houston, you know traffic? Patience, the ability to wait. And that's necessary because we have to wait on the Lord. We're on His time and not ours. How many people in the Bible got in trouble when they got ahead of God? We have to be patient. We have to wait on Him. Perseverance, though, is the ability to bear under hardships, to keep from giving up. It's a resolute determination to steadfastly move on toward the goal, no matter what the obstacles are. The ability to remain constant in what we are doing. And anytime I study perseverance, or I think of the word hupomone, I think about that guy Atlas. He had to carry the weight of the world on his shoulders. And that's what comes to my mind when I think of hupomone. I think of perseverance as someone who has to carry that weight, but they keep going. They keep moving forward. And that's exactly what we need as Christians. We need to be diligent to add that to our character. Why is that so? Why do we need perseverance? Well, let's consider some biblical reasons. Number one, because of self-control. Now, right here in 2 Peter chapter 1, we're given the order here. Starting at verse 5, to our faith we are to add virtue, and that is courage. To courage we are to add knowledge, a knowledge of God's will, of what is right and wrong. To that we are to add self-control. That is the ability to restrain ourselves, self-mastery, the willingness and the ability to tell ourselves no. We have to develop that. And that comes after knowledge. Because knowledge tells us what is right and what is wrong. Self-control says, okay, we do this, we don't do that. But to self-control, we are to add perseverance. Why? Because a life of self-control is not easy. A life of self-control is not fun. And it can wear us down if we're not careful. Turn with me back to Proverbs 23. Proverbs chapter 23, and it won't take you long to see why we've turned to this passage in talking about perseverance and talking about self-control, telling ourselves no. Proverbs 23, verses 17 and 18 says, "Do not let your heart envy sinners, but be zealous for the fear of the Lord all the day. For surely there is a hereafter, and your hope will not be cut off." It's hard to continue denying ourselves when we look around us and we see people who are enjoying lives of sin. Let's be honest with ourselves. It's hard to do. It's hard to restrain. It's hard to say no when everybody else is saying yes. And the Bible says, don't envy those sinners. They're enjoying right now, and you know that the best is yet to come. And don't sacrifice that for enjoying this. Sometimes we need that reminder. We need that perseverance. We need to remember we're in it for the long haul. And we're not going to get tripped up on what's happening right here in front of us right now. So we need perseverance because self-control isn't always easy. We need perseverance because the way is difficult. Back to the Sermon on the Mount, we looked at it briefly this morning, a couple of verses from it this morning in Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. Jesus says, "Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it, because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it." The Lord calls upon us to travel the narrow and difficult way that leads to life. He doesn't call upon us to put our lives on cruise control and just go whatever way we want to. We've got to follow Him, and He leads us over that difficult path. He leads us over some tough terrain. He always calls upon us to take the high road. I hear Christians sometimes say, "I'm getting tired of taking the high road all the time." There'll come a day when you won't be. But for now, we take the high road. We walk the path that the Lord has given us when facing temptations and when facing tough choices. There's a strong temptation for us to give up. You watch some of these reality shows that are endurance shows. And contestants are given the right to tap out whenever they feel like they can't go any further. And the Lord, in the life of a Christian, the Lord doesn't want us tapping out. He doesn't want us giving up. The way is difficult. He tells us that beforehand. And so we need perseverance so we can stay on the path, so that we can keep going. We need perseverance because we're not there yet. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 10. I said we'd look at this passage tonight, and here we are. Now, not only do we look around about us and we see people in the world who are enjoying sin, and we can envy the wicked, we can envy the sinners, but we also look around us and see our friends in denominationalism who have this false concept of grace and the idea that they're saved right here, right now, and so it doesn't really matter how they live. And that's not what the Scriptures teach either. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 36, "For you have need of endurance." There's our thought, there's our word, our subject. Perseverance, endurance. "You have need of endurance so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise." The false doctrine of faith-only salvation, and especially once saved, always saved, is that the moment you invite Jesus into your heart, your ticket is stamped, it's punched. Heaven is yours right then and right there, and you need to just sit down and wait for the Lord to come pick you up and take you to the big house. Take you to heaven. That's not what the Scriptures teach, but that's the way a lot of people around us live. The Scriptures plainly say you have need of endurance so that after you've done the will of God, you may receive the promise. "For yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who draw back to perdition, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul." What's going to be the difference between drawing back, giving up, tapping out, and being lost, and believing to the saving of the soul? Perseverance. That's the difference. We have to have it. We have to develop it. We have to add it to our character so that we will stay in the race. We will stay in the fight. We are not there yet. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 10 and 11, as we looked at these verses just a short while ago, we started looking at partaking of the divine nature and adding these things, being diligent to add these things to our faith. If you go down a few verses in the chapter, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 10, "Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent." There that word diligent is found again. That word diligent means you give your best effort. You give your best effort to add these things to your faith. "Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you'll never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." When does that happen? At the end. Not now. It happens then. Why do we need perseverance? Because we're not there yet. Why do we need perseverance? Because persecutions will come. The very life that we have chosen to live will assuredly bring persecutions to us. And we have to be able to endure those. In the book of 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 12. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 12 says, "Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution." Notice the text does not say might suffer persecution, should suffer persecution. It says will suffer persecution. And if someone says, "Well, I'm not really suffering any persecution," I would say, "Well, look at the beginning of the verse. all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus. If you're not suffering persecution, I would question your desire to live godly in Christ Jesus. And we don't have to go looking for it. It will find us. But are we living godly lives? Are we living the way that God would have us to? If so, we stand out to our enemy, and he's going to come after us. We're going to suffer persecution from the unbelieving world around about us. As Jesus says in John chapter 15, they don't believe me, they don't accept me, they're not going to accept you. Don't be surprised. Sometimes we suffer from an unbelieving world. Sometimes we suffer from our own brethren, but we have to have the faith, and we have to have the wisdom to understand and realize that all persecution, all suffering ultimately comes from the enemy himself. Ultimately, it comes from Satan. He asked in Luke 22 and verse 31, he asked specifically for Peter to sift him as wheat. And Jesus told Peter that. Satan has asked for you. We have to believe that he is that roaring lion seeking whom he may devour, and at times he comes looking for us. Why do we need perseverance? Because we have an enemy. Because we have one that does not want us to cross that finish line, and he's going to do everything he can to keep us from it. Look at the way he's described in Revelation 12, and then we'll move on to the next point. Revelation chapter 12 and at verse 17. I know when we go to the book of Revelation, it's a book of signs and symbols where things are often larger than life. We have to be very careful in going to the book of Revelation and that we understand the kind of book that it is. Friday night, we're talking about heaven. We're going to spend a good amount of time in Revelation there, understanding that it is a book of signs and symbols meant to convey truths to us. That's certainly the case here in talking about our enemy. Revelation chapter 12. And at verse 17, talks about the great dragon that tried to consume the child that was born, that is obviously Christ. He fails to do that. Verse 17, the end of the verse says, "And the dragon was enraged with the woman, and he went to make war with the rest of her offspring who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ." He's making war with God's people. If you're a Christian, that's you. So the way is difficult. We're not there yet, and we have an enemy that's trying to keep us from getting there. We have to have perseverance. We have to have that determination to make it through to the end. If not, we won't. We won't. Let's consider how it is that perseverance works in our lives. Let's take a moment and focus on this. There is a passive side to perseverance, and there's an active side to perseverance. And both of them work in our life and in our faith. The passive side of perseverance is seen in the exercise of endurance, the ability to patiently bear under trials and persecutions. That's what Paul calls the Romans to be able to do. In Romans chapter 12 and in verse 12, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer. Yeah, that tribulation is there. That persecution is there. We remain patient in that. We stay where we're supposed to be in that. In 2 Timothy, in chapter 2 and verse 3, 2 Timothy 2 verse 3, Timothy is told, "You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." Timothy, I've left you there in Ephesus. I want you to do the work of an evangelist there. Some of it's going to be hard. You endure it. You endure it. I was talking with a young preacher a number of months ago, and he called me and told me of the situation he was going through where he was at. And I heard my own voice and his. Helped me to relive some of the things that I'd gone through. And I simply took him to this passage. And I said, "Brother, if you're going to preach, this is one of the things you just got to endure. You just have to endure it. There's no way, no other way around that." And that's true for preachers. It's true for elders. It's true for their wives. who have to endure a lot, it's true for all of God's people. All of God's people. We have to endure hardships. In Matthew 13, we have the parable of the sower. Remember the different kinds of soil that represent the different kinds of heart into which the Word of God is sown. We have the stony ground. Remember that seed germinated, it sprung up very quickly, and then just about as quickly it withered away, and it died. Why is that? Jesus explains, Matthew 13, 20 and 21, "But he who received the seed on the stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy, yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles." He doesn't have that perseverance, hasn't developed that yet, and when the hardship comes, he withers and dies. There's no resource there to sustain him through that time. Perseverance works in that way for us, allows us to stay rooted, to stay firm, to stay steadfast where we are, so that we're not moved away from where we need to be. But there's an active side of perseverance. And that is the quality of persistence. Remember, we pictured that fella Atlas who has the weight of the world on his shoulders. But I said with that word hupomone, it means to abide under, to live under. You keep going. Despite having that weight put on you, you're still serving God. You're still moving forward. Persistence. You're not going to give up. The Bible uses some good illustrations to show us the importance of this quality of persistence. One of them is running a race. Back to the book of Hebrews at chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, we looked at verse 2 this morning when we noticed the joy that was set before the Lord. But back up here to verse 1. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1. "Therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses..." Who's that cloud of witnesses? Chapter 11. All those great heroes of faith from the Old Testament. They've all run their leg of the race. Now they're in the stands and they're cheering us on as we run our leg of the race right now. "Therefore, we also, since we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us." The need for endurance in our race as Christians suggests that the Christian life is more of a marathon than a 50-yard dash. I don't know if it'd surprise you to learn that I'm not a runner. I'm not a runner, but I know the difference between a 50-yard dash and a marathon. If I was into putting bumper stickers on my car, I would have up the 0.01. I don't know if you've seen those or not. That's me. Not spiritually, but physically, that's me. I could do the 50-yard dash. I don't know what would happen after. I could do it, though. But a marathon, no, I couldn't do it. I haven't built up the endurance to be able to do that. But physically, bodily exercise profits little. Godliness is profitable for all things. You and I have to have endurance so we can run spiritually, so that we can run this race and see it through to the very end. You're surrounded by brethren here tonight who are cheering you on. And if you have a faith that is strong enough, you can hear the echoes of the voices of the saints in the past cheering you on as you run that race with endurance. We need endurance in doing good. Doing good is not a one and done thing. Serving God is not like getting your booster shots, one and done, or passing your driver's test, one and done. No. Serving God is a 24/7 thing. We do it all the time. Romans chapter 2, verses 7 through 10. "Eternal life to those who by patient continuance in doing good seek for glory, honor, and immortality. But those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish on every soul of man who does evil, of the Jew first and also of the Greek, but glory, honor, and peace to everyone who works what is good, to the Jew first and also to the Greek, for there is no partiality with God. Notice the reward. Notice the blessing that is given, glory, honor, immortality to those who are continuing. Those who by patient continuance in doing good. Galatians chapter 6 in verse 9. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9 says, "And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap, if we do not lose heart." Don't lose heart. Don't give up. Don't envy what's going on around you. Keep doing what is good and bearing fruit. In Luke's account of the parable of the sower, in Luke chapter 8, in verse 15, he explains that good ground, that good soil. Luke chapter 8, and at verse 15 says, "But the ones that fell on the good ground are those who, having heard the word with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience." Don't leave off those last two words. Bearing fruit requires patience. Turn with me to James chapter 5. We know that in agriculture, in bearing fruit, you have to have time. It takes time for the vine or for the tree or for the plant to mature. You have to go through seasons of pollination and growth and ripening before there is a harvest that can be taken in. Before there is fruit that can be won, that can be enjoyed. James chapter 5, verses 7 and 8. "Therefore be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and latter rain. You also be patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand." Keep at it. Keep producing that fruit. Keep bearing that fruit. That's how perseverance works in our lives. So we've talked about why we need it. We've talked about how it works in our lives. Now let's consider how we obtain it, or how we develop perseverance. It wouldn't do much good for us at all tonight if we talked about what we have so far and extended the invitation. We all go home. No, we need to know how it is we can develop perseverance, how it is that we can diligently add it to our self-control. What are some things that we can do to obtain or develop perseverance? Well, number one is by persevering. Perseverance is one of those things that you have to do in order to obtain. James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. James 1, verses 2 through 4. "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall in the various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing." Think about that runner again. How does that runner gain endurance? By running. How do you and I gain perseverance, that ability to keep on keeping on? By doing that. By going through situations that call upon us to exercise our faith in that way. A Christian gains perseverance by faithfully suffering through persecutions and temptations and doing what is right. How do we develop perseverance? By following the right examples. Again, in James chapter 5, verses 10 and 11, "My brethren, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord as an example of suffering and patience. Indeed, we count them blessed who endure. You have heard of the perseverance of Job and seen the end intended by the Lord, that the Lord is very compassionate and merciful." We have these prophets in the scriptures, Elijah that we studied this morning, the minor prophets. I'm assuming you're going through a study of the minor prophets. You learn what these men endured. The prophets Ezekiel and Jeremiah and Isaiah, the lives that they had to live, they had to exercise perseverance. And as we look at them and we see what they overcome, we know that we can as well. And as James says, we know there's a reward. We know there's a blessing at the end. Job teaches us that. The prophets teach us that. We need to follow those examples instead of looking at the people around about us who would quit, who would fold, who would tap out because it's too hard. No, let's look to those who endured. Let's develop a stronger faith in the reward. That's where perseverance comes from. It comes from strengthening our faith. Romans chapter 8 and verse 18 is a great refrigerator verse. You know what a refrigerator verse is? You put things on your refrigerator that you want to see all the time. This is a verse that we need to think about all the time. It's a refrigerator verse. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which should be revealed in us. All the things that we might have to go through in this life, my faith tells me, your faith tells you, that the moment we enter into heaven, they won't mean a thing. All the injustices we've had to go through, all the pain, all the suffering, all those things that we've gone through, it won't mean a thing. As soon as we cross, as soon as we enter into heaven, it won't mean a thing. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians at chapter 4, verses 16 through 18. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction... Did you hear Paul refer to his sufferings as light affliction? We know the things that Paul went through. Our light affliction, which is but for a moment compared to eternity, life is just a moment. Let's keep it in perspective, brethren. It is just a moment. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Again, as we were talking about Jesus enduring the cross, he was able to look beyond what was happening right in front of his face right now. And he saw the joy that lay before him. And our faith needs to develop to the point that we can do that as well. We don't ignore life. We don't ignore what we're going through right now. But we don't allow it to take our eyes off of what lies ahead. Our faith needs to be strong enough that we can keep our eyes on what lies ahead of us. And if we can keep our eyes on what is above and what lies ahead of us, then we can make it through whatever lies before us. Bring it on. I'm going to make it through. I'm going to get to the end. That's what perseverance does. How do we develop perseverance? Well, we develop our faith in a reward. And then finally, dedication. Dedication. Go back to 2 Timothy chapter 3. I want to look at this passage. And then we'll wrap up our study. Wrap up our study this evening. 2 Timothy at chapter 3, verse 12 we read, yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Verse 13, it's only going to get worse, but evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. There's the situation. We're going to suffer, and it's only going to get worse. What do we do about it? Verse 14, but you must continue in the things of which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from who you've learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. There are things that we can do. God has given us, God has equipped us with things that we can do that will allow us to continue in our faith and continue in our journey. Paul told Timothy, you continue in the things that you've learned. You stay in them. You and I, we need to continue in the things that we've learned. Spend time reading and meditating upon and studying the Scripture. Spend time in prayer. Spend time associating with faithful Christians who are trying to persevere. Spend time assembling with the saints. And we'll talk about that more tomorrow night. But spend time assembling with the saints. Perseverance is that dedication, that commitment to seeing it through. How do we develop perseverance? Let's remind ourselves that we have committed ourselves. We have dedicated ourselves. We have to see this matter through to the end. Developing as a Christian requires us to obtain qualities and characteristics that will allow us to serve the Lord faithfully throughout our lives. Again, it's not that we are saved and we can put our lives on cruise control and just coast on in the rest of the way. No. Twice in 2 Peter chapter 1, we're told to give diligence, to give all diligence. So we give our effort to developing these characters and these qualities, and among them is that quality of perseverance. The devil is the tireless enemy of God and His people. And he has proven that he will do whatever he can to discourage you and me and to cause us to try to quit the Lord. The way is hard, the days are long, and the toil is tiresome. But my soul is too important for me to give up. And your soul is too precious for you to give up. Your soul is really the only thing that you have. In the end, when the heaven and earth is destroyed and everything is gone, the only thing that you and I are going to have is our soul. And the only thing that's going to matter is where it's going to spend eternity. And if we haven't developed perseverance, we're not going to make it through to the end. We have to develop perseverance. And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end, that you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Appreciate you so much following along, looking at the Scriptures and studying with me as we consider this important quality that God would have us to add to our lives. If you're here tonight and you're not yet a Christian, if you've not confessed your faith in Jesus Christ, if you've not repented of your sins and turned and given your life completely and totally to Him, if you've not been immersed in water for the remission of your sins, then I want you to know and realize that you haven't entered the race yet. You haven't even entered the race. You need to become a Christian. You need to accept that salvation that the Lord has purchased for you on Calvary and offers freely to you through the terms He sets forth in the gospel. And if we can assist you with that tonight, we would love to have that opportunity to help you. If you've done that in the past, but you've given up, you're not running like you know you should, you've allowed the weights of the world to cause you to back up, maybe you're close to tapping out. You know you need to develop perseverance. You need to keep on keeping on. Maybe you've sinned in such a way you need to make it right publicly. Maybe you're overwhelmed and you would like our prayers for you. We would be glad to pause and take time and pray for you tonight, that you would have that strength to keep on keeping on. Your soul is too precious. Whatever your spiritual need is, would you let it be made known by coming forward as we stand and sing this invitation song?